Lead us in the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Need a motion to approve the minutes of January 9 and January 22?
Second.
Questions, comments, any edits? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. No grievances, Nate? Thanks. Moving on to elections.
Good morning.
Morning.
We got our new voting machines and we had to either figure out whether we're going to do a contract for the schools. We found out other counties are not opting to allow the schools to use the voting machines. We have seven schools that are interested in using them. And I believe we sent the contract to you. And now they have not been purchased with grant money. So we're.
Previously, when they've used the voting machines, we could not charge them for the use of the machines because we purchased them with federal grant money. So all we could charge them for was the supplies that we sent out with them and the time for the staff to do the stuff. And then also the delivery and the pickup of the machines. Now that we have brand new machines, they still want to be able to use our election machines. And it takes quite a bit of time for us to do the programming and the testing of the machines, and then also the delivery and the pickup of them. We have to use the bus, and we have had times where the buses broke down. We've been delivering and picking up machines for the schools. So our contract needs to be renewed, which is why we're doing the new one. We would like to ask that the schools pay $750 for the first machine and $250 for each additional machine that they are requiring.
My recommendation, just to add, is, depending upon your thoughts, depending upon what you folks are comfortable with, that the commissioners, and if they want myself, obviously we do have a good relationship with all the supers, to get them on a Zoom and talk about this. It's to the point where their elections, especially if they do capital project votes outside of their normal election schedule, we can't help. And to a certain extent, they can't help if a budget gets voted down. There's going to have to be an election, another vote at, if their budget gets voted down. But they can control when their capital projects are voted upon. And that has a major impact on them if they do it in an off. I think one was December this year. So you're scrambling, finishing up an election, and then trying to get them ready. So I think it's going to be an interactive conversation. I think, my sense, they're realists. They know that there are costs to these things. So I think they'll be fine with that. But that'd be the other thing that I say is that certainly them, if they want me part of that, I'm happy to be discussed with the schools about where this is all going.
Do we know why the other counties are electing not to rent out their machines, their voting machines?
Normally, basically because of the timing of when we have to do the work for the school is also in the middle of us doing our own testing for our own elections. And like last year, we had Corning City School did a budget in December. And so we're right in the middle of actually running our general election and certifying our election when we're also being required to design their ballots, test the machines, and do all of that for them in the middle of what we're trying to do for our job, which is top priority. And so that causes a lot of problems. And especially this year being presidential, a lot of the counties are just saying, we're just not doing it. And a lot of them are also received brand new voting machines. Yeah.
So we're all learning, but they have theirs in May, and in May we are getting prepped for the June. So 90%, I very rarely, we don't have a June primary. We might have a small one, but we don't, we generally do. And that does split your staff up and doing two different things, or else to the point where you're overwhelmed by all the work. So I think that's why the other counties decided not to do it.
Carol?
Well, I guess my question is, what's the alternative for them? And how are the other school districts in other counties handling it?
Some of the other counties, they have actually sent them to ES&S. They are purchasing voting machines from ES&S. They're about, I did reach out to ES&S to talk to them about it. Their voting machines are over $6,000 a piece. And then they programmed the election for them, and the programming cost for them, for ES&S to do that for the schools, is over $1,600 an election.
And we would share that information with them. We'd share essentially the contract, the amended contract, what our plan is, that we want to support them, but that there are other options, and it might be a little more expensive, but some schools might want to choose that option. So I think that's why having a talk with them after this, just to level set, is a good idea, and give them, to a certain extent, it'll be giving them a choice.
Yeah.
So no decision today, just information.
Well, the decision on essentially does, number one, unless anyone felt adamant that we shouldn't charge back some of these costs, because it is new, we can charge them back. I would recommend, it sounds like the commissioners would recommend too, charging back, because there is actual time and expense on our side. But then going forward, so it'd be, unless there's objection, that's the direction forward. Then we would meet with the schools, talk about the options. The costs to them at the beginning aren't going to be exorbitant, but you know, we wanted to talk to you, because if they sent out the contract without us discussing with you, the schools might call you and say, hey, what's going on with this? You know,
so it's a motion to propose these contracts to those districts.
Yeah,
basically.
Is there a way? Vote.
Second. Got a motion.
I'll second, but second. I'd like to ask more questions.
William, you got a question?
Yeah. Is there a way to draft these contracts so most of the burden is on the school to getting these voting machines to them? And I don't know about.
Yes. We discussed that, having them actually have to come and pick up the machines and deliver them back to us. I mean, that will take some of it off, but we're still required to do all of the programming and testing.
How long does that usually take?
It's tough, because when they do it all kind of at once, because they're going to multiple schools. Sure. For each individual school, essentially it'd be however long it takes for them to get here and back with a little time to load.
Yeah, I'm just talking about the programming specifically.
Oh, the programming, I'm sorry.
The programming depends on how much they have on their ballot. And then, you know, they have to send it to us. We have to do the entire programming. We proof it ourselves, and then we send it to them for them to proof. And then if there's any corrections. And a couple of years ago, Addison actually had ballot was programmed, everything was ready to go, and somebody dropped out of the race, and we were not aware that somebody can just drop out of the race. And then they had to wait for new petitions to be filed and new candidates sent to us. And then we had to completely redo the ballot, get it done, get them printed to test them and to reprogram and test the voting machines. So that was a major.
Was this something that, are you able to program on site, or does it have to be programmed where we?
No, we have to program it in our system, and that has to be completely done and rolled over before we can ever.
Before they get ballots and everything.
Sure, but can you program the machine remotely?
No.
It has to be here.
Yes.
So you had to bring the machines back then, or?
The machines had not gone out yet,
yeah.
But it was a major, we had to redo the entire thing.
Brad, you had a question?
Yeah. What happened to the old machines?
They were securely destroyed.
Oh, because seems to me that would have been a logical solution if the schools could use the old machines.
The problem was the programming that we had to use to do that was on Windows 7. Okay. And which was no longer supported. And we had an issue once where the entire thing almost crashed. So that was the major. It would have required a whole brand new programming for us to even do that, to allow them to do that.
Something to be said for the old lever action machines.
Yeah. We've said that more than a few times around here.
I'm just very concerned about two things, the burden on the Board of Elections and having the school board transport the machines when we have brand new machines that we've paid a lot of money for. And I'm just concerned that they would not be as careful with the machines as we would be.
There's language in there about that they have to provide proof of insurance so that if anything is damaged, that it's their responsibility.
Yeah. Okay.
Is it contract is only for this next election?
For right now, yes.
For 2024.
Or just
for the year, yep. Right? For the year.
Mm-hmm. Is there a benefit to having these machines go out and get a test run before our own primary? And then.
Well, we'll be doing one before that.
We have a primary. We have the presidential primary before the schools.
Them. So we'll have that one, then the schools, and then we'll have our state June primary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Based on your email that you sent, which I appreciate the information, but it just seems to me like you two would rather we not do the deal with the school district, that we would be like other counties and say, no, you're on your own. So if that's the case, why did we make the fee so amenable to them?
Oh, we could go up.
The fee is less than 10% of what it would cost them to buy a machine.
I think it was because, you know, the slow boil of the frog. I think this is going to be new where they paid nothing.
Yeah.
So to get them in, and the cost might have to go up. It was to not give them sticker shock coming in and saying, this election is going to cost you $10,000 or something like that.
I mean, we have very mixed feelings about this. I mean, one, we would rather that the voters are all voting on the same machine. We also know that after over previous years, that we think that the general public also feels that the school votes are more transparent using the voting machines, because I know we had had a lot of public complaint before about, you know, they're doing paper ballots, everything is being counted behind the scenes, and they really don't know whether they're accurate or trustworthy. So we have that, you know, and we understand that. But yes, the amount of work that it is for us to actually do this is a lot. And believe me, they have had it very easy for what we were charging them for us to do the election for them, basically. And we would love to charge them more, but we figured that, you know, legislators would have a slight heart attack. So that's partly why we're here.
Can you just, whoever had the figure for what it would cost the schools to do the programming if they had their own machines, what was it, like $1,600 or something like that?
Yeah.
Plus it was the email she sent out.
Yeah, plus the purchase of the machine, which was like $6,000.
Yeah.
Almost. Sure, I'm just thinking, you know, if we were talking $750, but if they were programming it themselves, it'd be $1,600. I don't see why we can't charge what the programming would be if we weren't providing the machines. If they can do the pickup.
No. Well, they're going to pay a fee for the programming. They're paying to rent the machine plus the fee for you to do the ballot, right?
Right. So the $750 was for us to do the programming and the testing on the machine.
Oh, it is. Okay.
And for them to come and pick it up.
Yeah, I don't think that's enough.
Well.
And I wouldn't give them a break on multiple machines. I would say $750 a machine.
Kelly?
I think that as the main municipality that owns the machines, we should be willing to help out the school districts with the machines. And I realize that it is somewhat of a burden on you, but I also think that we should charge enough. We shouldn't eat any of the cost because they don't want to invest in their machines. Sure. We invest. We have the department that takes care of them. We have the storage for them. So it makes sense for us to do that. It makes sense for us to provide the contract, but it also makes sense for us to reimburse our staff for the training and the work that they do when they're doing this for another municipality. So I would be in favor of doing the school contracts, but definitely in maybe analyzing exactly how much we should charge.
So are you suggesting that be $1,600?
1600 seems excessive, but I don't know how many labor hours it truly takes and what our labor costs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would want to see that before I would determine how much it should cost. I mean, do we want to make money on it? Well, maybe not necessarily, but we should be reimbursed in full for our labor cost to program it and all the materials that it takes to put it together for them.
Yeah, but agree. If their alternative is to spend $6,500 or whatever for the machine and then $1,600 each year to program it, for us to charge $1,600 and let them use our machine is a deal.
Yeah, it's still a good deal. I'm not disagreeing with you, but we have no idea truly how much it costs us to program it because we don't have the number of hours. We don't have the labor rate. We don't know.
We were also sold on the new machines that they're much easier to program too. So
excellent point. I mean, the company that is charging $1,600 to program it is paying for their labor costs and building profit into their, I'm not saying we should build profit into ours necessarily, but we are the ones that are the experts with that machine.
So why don't we use $1,600 for the first year, analyze the amount of effort and labor you put into it, and then come back next year and say, here's the number.
Is that $1,600 going to be for each location or for each machine? I'm not sure if it's $1,600 per machine or how they...
Yeah, I mean, they had to purchase their own machines. So like Corning City School gets 4 machines. Canisteo Greenwood gets 2 machines. So the programming, it depends on how the school sets it up, whether each school has their own separate ballot and ID and like district information, it's a different ballot style and a different program for each one. So
it wouldn't necessarily be a flat rate for each school district going forward.
Right.
It seems like some uniformity is it needs to be, that could be in part of the conversation you have with the school districts, that uniformity in their ballots and some of their other things would be beneficial or in their best interest, perhaps.
For ours right now, they all are using the same ballot style.
Okay. That makes life easier for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So would it be $1,600 per machine or per district?
You have to program each machine individually or no?
No, once we have the program, we're good. We just have to test the machine and everything and make sure everything works and everything is running.
And then it can be downloaded into more than one machine if need be.
So it's not a huge work beyond the first machine.
They just loaded.
Right. It's just additional.
You don't have to.
Yeah, we still have to test each machine to make sure it's functioning properly.
You could easily do it $1,600 for the first machine and $1,000 for each additional machine or something like that. And then if they want 10 machines, they know exactly what they're costing.
That's what I would do.
Yeah. I mean, we just spent almost $1 million on all these machines.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be just loaning them out to people and not trying to collect some of that money back.
So what do we want to do? We want to do 16 plus 1,000 first year?
I would.
Is there a motion?
Yep. We got a motion.
Well, it's amending.
Now it's an amending motion.
We're amending that motion.
With
new numbers.
Are you comfortable with that amendment?
Yes.
Is Mr. Thu comfortable with that amendment?
All right. That'd be fine.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Andy. Drum roll.
Morning. Just the one item, the quarterly copy paper bid. We received 4 bids, and I'll start with the highest. The first was Sharda paper at $36.85. The next bid was Economy Products and Solutions at $32.85, Contract Paper Group at $32.45, and the low was WB Mason at $32.11.
I'll make the motion.
Got a motion. Second, Gary?
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks, Andy.
All right. Next quarter. Thank you.
Wendy.
Good morning.
Morning.
Today I'm coming to request approval for a 1537 agreement with the town of Hornby for the certain assessment services. This may not be necessary. They were planning to interview two candidates yesterday. So, you know, it's just an end case thing for 6 months.
What's the agreement?
For our office to perform certain services like process exemption applications, enter sales data, that kind of thing, escrows.
I was at the Hornby Town Board meeting last night, and they did interview two people, and one was a very strong candidate. So I'm almost certain they probably won't
maybe need move. This. Yeah. Get a motion in any event?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Okay. The second thing I have is to renew the contract for the online assessment and tax data. I would like to renew it for 1 year with the current vendor, SDG. I did get a quote from another company, but it doesn't seem like they have the same options currently available. And they're not, you know, in a lot of counties or towns yet. So.
So moved.
For a second.
Second.
How much is it?
It is 6,000, which is 200 more than last year.
That's a good service we have. I like that tool.
Yep.
Anything else?
Any questions on the assessor?
Carries.
Sorry.
I just wanted to thank you for sending that detail. That was very helpful. I guess I was more paranoid that we had a major assessing issue, but I mean, you have one assessor that, I mean, she makes $100,000, but she has what, six or eight towns. Yeah. So if she decides she's on,
that's big.
Some exposure.
There's quite a few of those, and you know, the one in Bradford and Lindley, she, I think, is currently assessing as the sole assessor in, let's see, eight towns and deputy in three towns. So,
and she gives them 1 day a month in Lindley. They're not happy.
So, you know, it is a supply issue.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Rob. So what a person. We're going to wait for Rob. Nate, you want to do personnel issues?
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Okay. Mr. Swackhammer, just a couple requests here. So I know I don't pick on you too much, do I, Gary? First request is in purchasing. We're asking to reclassify a zero-based purchasing clerk position, CSEA grade D, to a purchasing specialist, CSEA grade J. And this is a situation where the duties required are higher. I have a candidate who should be moved up, and we're looking to do that.
Got a motion?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Any questions?
This is zero-based right now, though.
Correct. The individual in the department is in another position right now, so.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
County clerks, reclassify one zero-based recording clerk position, CSEA grade E, to a supervising motor vehicle clerk, CSEA grade K. This is something we've been talking about for quite some time, and the intent behind this is we think it's necessary with the three different DMV locations. As you know, we've had some difficulties with staffing and continuity between the offices. And this is intended to be kind of a general supervisor for all three offices that will actually travel around, go to these offices, deal with everything, you know, fill in where necessary, that sort of thing. So we certainly feel it's a good idea. I think it's a long time coming. So
now, how is this going to work?
So it's essentially a supervisor for the three locations, right? So that they will be essentially at a location each day, but you know, depending on need, could be to fill in for people that are out, or where we have holes, but also to supervise the general operation of all three. You know, it gives continuity between the three locations so that one person is essentially directing the activities, watching over things, making sure everything's going right. And again, filling in where necessary. This is a working supervisor.
Working supervisor, as Nate mentioned, and we worked with Judy and Sue on this. They're having, you know, difficulty staffing, certainly again, because they're not the only union position, in terms of motor vehicle clerks, but the salary survey and classification market rate that we're putting out for our next negotiation should be able to help this and, you know, alleviate, you know, or essentially propose where the market for this should be. But it's a way to help motor vehicles, not only for longer term supervision and operation, but also to plug some of the gaps that they have now.
Okay, so we have one person in charge of each office right now.
You essentially have a senior motor vehicle clerk who is the de facto supervisor of that office.
And they do the banking and all that stuff. So what's this person going to do again?
Oversee all three then, and could be have the ability to go back and forth between them. So the seniors would essentially report to the supervisor.
Okay.
And would also fill in when there's illness.
And then fill it a working supervisor. So someone, this will likely be a promotion, and then we would fill behind them. But yes, certainly a working supervisor, because we know that staffing is an issue.
Right. I'll make the motion.
Jeff.
I'm not on this committee, but I'd just like to make a comment that I think that this is a great idea, and I think it'll help Judy's office with the clerks. I go to the DMV all the time, but I think having that person between all three, and then if they have an issue, it'll be easier for that person to bring it back to Judy instead of 15 different people trying to, you know, do it. So I think it's a great idea.
Second.
Got a motion to second.
This should also help with scheduling as well, because the both the scheduling and the payroll in all three offices, the supervisor would be overseeing that as well. And
so would this position be necessary if we had the appropriate staffing levels that?
Yes.
I think from a long-term you know, structure of the organization, we used to have this. It's been a number of years since we did. We filled seniors or motor vehicle clerks. I think we might have actually reclassified this down to motor vehicle clerk to fill more of that function. So we've had it's a title that's in the union contract and that's on the books. We just reclassified it at some point. But I think from a long term evolution of the office and the supervision, I think it's useful. Yeah,
and it also helps because we receive subpoenas for DMV issues, obviously. And currently one of the senior clerks would have to go to the court and, you know, give the testimony. Whereas now at least we'd have the one supervising clerk that would be out of the office, so to speak, rather than
someone out.
So with having this position, would we be able to have avoided a closure like we just recently had at the Corning DMV?
I would hope. Well, if we get more staffing, currently I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I received a call yesterday about 6:30, and one of the clerks in Hornell was unable to make it. Well, two clerks had already were approved for the day off. As it turned out, I thought that'll leave three people in Corning, two people in Bath, two people in Hornell, even if I'm trying to move people. So as it turned out, we were able to, one of the staff members had changed their
their request so that they were at work yesterday. So we wound up with Bath having two and Hornell having three and Corning having three people there at least. So even with a supervisor at this point, it would help, but it wouldn't totally alleviate it. We need to fill those other positions as well. And that's been a problem. So
will you be able to fill this position?
Pardon me?
Will you be able to fill this position?
It, because this is promotional.
This is promotional. This would.
Oh, yeah. You're going to create a vacancy.
The goal is then to
hopefully
backfill
temporarily. Me. What we're doing you know me, I think, well, we can take on a little, you know, I can take on a little more. Well, hopefully this promotion, they can work for a little while doing both, but it can't go on permanently.
No, and it would be backfilling the motor vehicle clerk behind or whatever position it is behind it. But yeah, this is one of the titles. We have a number. We meet with department heads for our quarterly meeting. We have a number that are, you know, we're struggling to recruit, but with provision, with some of the stuff that's coming out with the HELP Act, I mean, you know, some of the stuff state civil service is doing, we should have a little more flexibility. We just need to find the right bodies.
And it should help because in what is it? Well, at this point, we don't know for sure, but May of 2025, when the real ID again, which every year seems to get pushed down the road, not only are we going to see probably a surge in activity there, but as well, the driver license renewals that every 3 years we have a downturn because there was that one period where we had, we went from 4-year renewals to 5-year renewals. And then we went from a 5-year renewal to an 8-year renewal. So we have that 3-year period typically where our revenues are down somewhat, but then they start surging right back up. And so if you think we can get, you know, sometimes you think you can get away with, maybe we get away with a little less because we've got a little less revenue. And then we're right back up to that surge again. So, and we'll see how this, the new revenue sharing is going to work out, because previously we received the 12.7% on all in-office transactions. And, it was the legislature and the governor approved the 10.75, I believe it is now, whether they're online or in the office. So we should make out better, but time will tell.
Yeah, we got a motion and a second. Anything else for Judy or Nate? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you. Tim here.
Tim and Kenny are coming.
Oh, right.
Emergency services and 911 asking to appoint a 911 deputy director above midpoint, management grade at H, step 7, 74792. As I stated last week, this is a longtime employee of the department, a longtime trainer, longtime supervisor, and salary certainly warranted.
So move.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Probation asking to reclassify a senior account clerk typist position, CSEA grade I, to a senior typist, CSEA grade F. And this is a situation where we've come back to you, I think back in April, and we had reclassified one up for training. And now we're looking to reclassify this back to senior typist.
That's a downgrade, Gary.
Yes, thank you.
Is that a motion?
That sounds like a motion.
That's a motion.
Section.
You heard it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Okay. And Jack, do you want me to go with this one or do you want to?
You can go ahead. You have the figures in front of you.
Okay. Yeah, I do. So we were approached and took a look at salaries for three management positions in the jail. And after our last negotiation with the CO unit, it does appear that there's a little bit of compression with these three titles. So in the meantime, while we're doing the new salary study, as you know, for management, which hopefully will correct that in the future. But for 2024, we think it's a good idea to go with a one-step bump for these three individuals, two lieutenants and the assistant jail superintendent, approximately $2,000 to $3,000 each.
Right now, the newest lieutenant is making about $500 to $1,000 more than the highest paid union member that they supervise. So certainly with the newest person, there is compression. There's a bigger spread with the more senior lieutenant and assistant superintendent, but there is noticeable enough compression that we'd recommend fixing it mid-year with this adjustment. And then, as we said, as Nate said, the consultant, we have the RFP out now, is going to be looking at not just union main unit CSEA, but also these management positions, which this is in, to propose essentially the new market rate classification.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
That'll take effect in June?
No, this would take effect next pay period after you approve this.
Okay. Got a motion to second. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
And the next is a home rule request. And this is a situation that goes back a while, quite a while. We have a deputy sheriff that was originally hired around 2016, as I recall. And this would predate me being the personnel officer. But after I had become personnel officer, we found out that this individual, you all familiar with the 551E, retirement that the deputies have, and they're required to sign up within 1 year after being permanently appointed as a deputy sheriff. And this person was somehow missed back in the day, and they shouldn't be. We need to make sure that they get in the appropriate retirement system, and so we need this home rule request. So we're asking for authorization to offer them enrollment in the 25-year retirement plan. I don't know, Jack.
What complicated this one, and as Nate said, the employee actually was the one who noticed it and notified us somehow back almost 10 years ago now. It got missed. This individual was a corrections officer in the jail, which is a different retirement system. Hmm. And when she transferred to the title of deputy sheriff, her retirement did not get updated to the 25-year retirement that the deputy sheriffs have. This, unfortunately, has happened. We did one about 12 years ago missed one. What this requires, so we're coming to you because we have to, and you'll see there, no one likes to miss this, but there's probably about 40 bills statewide that do this exact thing that the state legislature introduces, because they are the only ones that can by law change where these people are slotted for retirement system purposes. We have to buy in the back difference. And last year when we got the number, it was, I don't know, around 25,000-ish. That'll go up a little bit. It'll probably be closer to 30,000-ish.
Yep.
To buy back that service credit. But certainly she should have been, from the date of her hire, in that retirement system. So we have the funds to be able to do it, but we need to request the home rule authorization to request the legislation to make it happen.
And we know that this individual didn't opt out or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was of no fault of her own.
Yep. All right. I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Will the individual be required to make up what they would have contributed during that time also?
No, essentially we buy in that. I don't think
there's a
contract. No, I think all of those costs are factored in. So the couple percent difference in their contribution, but this employee has enough years where I think they were already vested and probably not contributing any, because the correct tier where after 7 years, 10 years, you stop contributing. I believe she's already vested. So long story short, it won't have any financial impact on her.
Okay, we got a motion to second. Anything else?
Good question.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Carries.
And that's all I got. Thanks, you. Nate.
Rock.
Good morning. I apologize for being tardy this morning. I have three requests this morning to do RFPs for internet service providers, two for DPW shops and one for the main county building. And if I could, I'd like to add a fourth one that I just found out that we need to do is for the 911 center.
You want to take these collectively? Make a motion for RFPs for each?
I'll make the motion.
For a second?
I'll second then.
Questions for Rob? All in favor?
Yeah, could you just explain the new one? Why we're just hearing about this new one?
Oh, the 911 center. They have one internet connection, and we need to do an RFP because we need to get it under a new contract, just like these other three.
So, is it in the same fiscal time frame, or I'm just wondering why we're hearing about it now? Is all. So, is it going to be expiring soon?
No, we're still good for this year, but we need to do an RFP to for when it does expire.
Else?
It's unfortunate that the broadband money we're spending is not going to take it out to the Keaton shop.
Yeah,
it goes down.
It doesn't go down Marsh Road.
It goes down a road to the east. We talked about that. It's about a mile run from the closest point of
their best bet would be get Starlink where the Keaton shop is.
We talked about that. But there is another provider that is, we talked to the shop supervisor. There's one a little bit down the road. So we want to see the price. If it's exorbitant to run, then we might just go Starlink.
Yeah.
We've talked about those options.
Hopefully it'll be the same situation we had out at the landfill where Spectrum did not charge us anything for running it. We're just getting a monthly bill for the internet service. So,
okay.
Because they had nothing out there before that.
Yep.
Okay, we got a motion, a second. Anything else for Rob? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Prosek?
Good morning. Joining the class action litigation, we had a brief discussion about this earlier this month. This is the NYSAC suggested litigation for the PFASs. We received the retainer agreement from the law firm that's willing to accept this. We're familiar with them. It's the same entity that represents the county in the class action with the opioid and the generic drug litigation. And it would be the same agreement as far as percentages and all of that.
Contingent fees, so no upfront cost. And mm-hmm. And as a reminder, this is class action litigation that municipalities, specifically those that operate wastewater treatment facilities and others, are the litigation is against essentially the five main manufacturers globally that create products that contain PFAS.
What was the contingent percentage?
25%.
25%.
In no disbursement costs if no money is awarded. So if we don't get anything, it'll cost zero. If we get something, they take 25% and take out their copying fees, all that good stuff.
And that's whether we get a judgment or a settlement.
Correct. In with the opioid, those have all been settlements as we've worked through them at this point.
Hello.
Second.
Any more questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Jack.
Yes, sir. So after multiple requests, the vendor still hasn't provided me with an updated quote. So I will be punting this one yet another month and applying more pressure. We still get the service. We would like to pay them. I don't know. Hopefully we can pay them soon. But I do, if Mr. Chairman, you don't have any other items for open session. I do have the need for executive session for three items, one related to the acquisition, disposition of real property, one related to the employment history of particular individuals, and one pending litigation.
Your motion?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're in executive session.
And I'm joining.